When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hey, everyone. This is Chris Platy here of Strictly Hip Hop and Strictly Hoop Talk. Got my man Josh returning to the podcast to break down the NBA play-in tournament. We're doing both the 7th and 8th matchups that are starting tonight, and then we dive into the 9 and 10 as well. So we give a complete breakdown of this whole play-in tournament. And later in the week, we will be doing two more podcasts, one on the NBA awards, so all NBA plus the awards, and then also one specifically diving into the entire playoffs once the play-in tournament is finalized. This is a good conversation. We jumped in and we talked about each team. There was a Piston tangent, or multiple Piston tangents, of course, as always. But it was a fun podcast to record, and we finished recording literally right at the start of the first game of the play-in tournament, the Brooklyn and Cleveland game. So we're ready for these takes to be outdated. But in the meantime, subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there, Strictly Hip Hop, Strictly Hoop Talk. Got a lot of podcasts coming for you, and got some major news coming as well on some other platforms. So make sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. Those will be where you'll see the big news I got coming. I got a surprise that I don't want to put out here on this podcast yet. I want to post on my social media. So my Twitter and Instagram handle is the same. It is at Real Chris Platy, C-H-R-I-S-P-L-A-T-T-E. I know you know how to spell it, real. I appreciate the follow, and be sure to tune in to Imperial Media TV every Friday on Instagram at Imperial Media TV. That's where I do my Instagram lives with the guys. We break down the newest music releases as well as the latest stuff in the NBA that is happening. So without further ado, let's throw it to the intro music and let's talk NBA play-in tournament with my boy Josh. Let's go. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Strictly Hoop Talk. As always, I'm your host, Chris Platy. Returning to the podcast is my boy, Josh.
Little big back shots. None crazy.
You know I'm never going to call you that. And we're sure here to not. Break down the NBA play-in tournament, which is just hours away. After a long season, Josh, we're finally here. I'm thinking we let's do this on the pod right now. Do we want to do our awards on an NBA playoff pod, or do we want to separate that?
Ooh, let's separate it. That sounds
exciting. I feel like we're gonna get too into it.
Yeah, that sounds exciting.
So we'll have three coming. This one is just going to be quick and covering the play-in. The play-in is literally starting in less than an hour as we speak. So we're gonna literally record this, get our thoughts up, and then watch these games and watch our takes that we're about to make become extremely dated in the matter.
Hey, my take is gonna be. Hey, I'm going 2-0 today. That's all I'm saying. I'm guessing both of them.
You going 2-0?
Going 2-0.
Tonight is the battle of the 7 and 8 matchup. So now the way the play-in tournament works, if you are not familiar, is the 7 and the 8 play each other in each conference. The winner is automatically the 7th seed, and then the loser has to play the winner of the 9-10 matchup, and then that's the team who gets the 8th seed. So just a quick rundown for the standings. So right now, the winner in the East of the Brooklyn 7, Cleveland 8 game will play in the first round the Boston Celtics. And then in the Western Conference, we have Minnesota and the Clippers as 7 and 8 respectively. And the winner of that game will be locked into a series with Memphis. Both these games tonight on TNT.
Tough.
Let's just start with...
Those are both... I feel bad for whoever gets seven for both sides. That's just
both sides. You think it's tough?
Yeah. Well, I feel bad for Boston getting seven, but I feel bad for whoever gets seven that got to go against Memphis. That is gonna be sick. Yeah. Both those teams.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, you know, why should a seven seed get rewarded? You know what I mean? Like, you're seven. True. You're like, that is in some sense a great season, but depending on what your expectations are, like some of these teams like Brooklyn and the Clippers, obviously you can't really judge them because they've had injuries deluxe, but you know, you shouldn't be rewarded. Like, you know, you shouldn't have to get to like choose, you know, the weakest opponent. So you kind of have to go against a juggernaut. But let's start with, we'll just go in order of the games. I'm more excited about the Minnesota Clippers game.
I am too.
Yeah, T-Wolves and Clippers is going to be a battle. It's going to be interesting to see what they do against Towns.
Who you got winning, though?
Man, we're going to pod. Relax.
I'm saying, bro. Who you got?
Let's get to it. Let me host this shit. You know I do this. All right. 7-8, Brooklyn-Cleveland, starting at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Coming into this game, obviously consensus is going to be Brooklyn because Brooklyn should never be a 7 seed in the first place due to injuries,
and unforeseen circumstances. James Harden,
yeah, a weird James Harden thing, a vaccination status. Brooklyn finds themselves in the 7th seed. We don't need to reiterate all that. Every podcast in the world has talked about why Brooklyn's 7th. We don't need to talk about that. We know that their offense is electric and their defense is not so much, and you know that they've looked good with the recent trade acquisitions, but they have some injuries with Seth Curry and Joe Harris, and so you know, it's been a tough season for Brooklyn, but everybody expects Brooklyn to win this game and automatically get the 7th seed, especially because Cleveland, while they had a great start to the season, has fallen by the wayside, and a lot of that is not their fault. A lot of that was injuries to Colin Sexton earlier in the year, then Rubio, and then they've had an adjustment period with Caris LeVert,
and then he got hurt also.
And then
as
he got hurt also, so it's just been a tough injury luck season for Cleveland.
And let's not forget the biggest of them all, Jared Allen.
Jared Allen, yes. I was getting to that because that was going to be the one I was literally going to say was the most crucial to me of all of them was the Jared Allen, yes, who was an all-star player for them this year. Listen, it's obvious to pick Brooklyn. I'm going to pick Brooklyn because it's one game and it's KD and it's Kyrie and it's a bunch of young guys who haven't been there, who've had flashes that look good. You know, like Evan Mobley has looked great for a lot of the season. You know, yes, they have size in theory when they have Jared Allen and stuff to go big against Brooklyn, but right now they don't have all the size that they need. They have Love, they have Markkanen, but if you're playing Love and Markkanen 30 minutes in this game, which Cleveland will probably have to play at least one of them 30 minutes in this game, then I think if you're Brooklyn, you're totally fine with that because you got KD and Kyrie that can ISO them to death, get switches, cook, and I think this is going to be a blowout, honestly.
Oh, man. I was just going to say the same thing, and they're about to – KD and Kyrie both dropping 30-plus easily.
The only way they don't is if they just blow them out that bad.
Yeah. I think they're going to handle
them. But I think they will each get 30 before they're pulled from the game. And like, I think that's how, because the crazy thing is Kyrie this year when he's played, which again hasn't been much, but when he's played, he's had so many games where he has like 22 or 26 at the half, like just goes off like crazy to start the game.
As a part-time player, I would expect him to be hot like that. My man's chilling at the home all day on the
fresh
couch
as
and
can
shit.
Be.
That's what I'm saying. No injuries.
Yes. And also, it's worth noting that Ben Simmons still has an unclear timetable for return, but I didn't even mention him in the injury because I know there was a report earlier this week that, oh, he might play in the play-in or right after the play-in. And Steve Nash was like, really? I haven't even heard that. So
he's going to be useless.
It's not happening. You don't bring him back, especially with all the mental stuff. Like, you don't bring him back and be like, all right, welcome back. It's the playoffs. All the pressure in the world is on you. Like,
my man slept on his bed the wrong way, not his back hurt. That's all I got to say. he just got a mysterious back injury.
Listen. I do want to go, like, full deep psychologist on that, but I want to save that for another podcast. I think Brooklyn is winning this game by a landslide. I don't think it will be particularly close. I just don't think Cleveland has the firepower to match them offensively.
Give a number.
And they don't have the defense. Ooh.
Give a number.
I think it's going to be like 123-98. I think it's a smoke show.
I wanted to say something crazy like that. Damn.
Because Cleveland's going to get close to 100 points. Like, Brooklyn's defense is just not going to get them to.
All right. And if you go with that, I'm going to say it's going to be 130 to like 108. Yeah, 130 to 108. That's my score. I think they're going to be.
130 is crazy.
Yeah, I think they're going to score a shit ton of points.
Okay, I play 2K more than you.
Yes, way
but
more.
I remember, yes, way more. But a couple years ago, I remember like simulating like, you know, just seasons, just running, you know, building that Pistons dynasty like I always do.
Facts.
And when I was doing that, I would always end up with like seeing these scores like 130-98, and I was like, "Bro, I hate simulating in 2K because these numbers are never real. Bro, this shit doesn't exist.
Never."
And now 2 years later, it's like this shit is like
a simulation.
Well, we've seen 140 games, and it's like
Elon Musk is right. We're truly in a simulation.
We are. That's another. That's another team. But listen, man, I don't want to labor this too much. Let's just go with okay. So we're both picking Brooklyn. Going yes. forward with Cleveland, how do you feel about their chances against Atlanta or Charlotte? You don't have to necessarily say, like, pick, like, we don't have to run through each matchup. We can if we want real quick, but just more so just
I think they lose. Feel?
You think they're going to lose?
I think they lose. I think my boy Trae Young come through, and he get them the eighth seed.
It sounds simple. It sounds like the most uneducated take, but it really is in this tournament, you have Kevin Durant, Kyrie, and Trae Young. And, like, that's just gonna do what it's going to do. Like, all you need is one game. Now, Atlanta's been a mess. That Atlanta-Charlotte game, I'm actually kind of unsure of. But
yeah, I was going to say, don't sleep on LaMelo. Yeah. LaMelo, he coming up.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's like Cleveland has been backsliding for quite some time now, and they're just not as good of a team. Now, it is one game, so anything can happen. That's why we love this tournament. But I don't know. I just don't like what Cleveland's got to offer in this tournament, which is tough because at one point they were a force. Well, at one point they were number one in the East, but
we knew that wasn't going to stick.
Yeah, we knew that wasn't going to stick. But they spent a majority of the season around four, and then it just started to just drop and drop and drop. And, you know, unfortunately for them, the East was better this year. The 10th seed Charlotte is 43-39. Like, when's the last time the 10th seed in the East was 43-39?
Bro, that had probably not since like the 90s, probably. I don't know. I'm probably just throwing out a number.
I mean, if I had to guess, I would say, what about the early 20s? No, there wasn't enough good teams in the East.
I about to say like the late 2000s, maybe, when like the Celtics was like the number one seed.
That's kind of the era I'm thinking.
Or like when the Pistons was the number two seed. And when LeBron took the Cleveland to the finals, maybe around that time too.
Like 2007?
Yeah. So like in that little general
area.
You think
the East was that deep?
Maybe not that deep, but like they just had like a positive record at the end.
Yeah.
They probably only had like 41.
You know, while we're jumping around, see if you can find that. See if you can look that up while we're jumping around here. But quickly with Cleveland, I just don't expect them to have the firepower to hang with the Atlanta-Charlotte game. But let's jump to the West. We'll talk about the 9-10s next. But we want to first knock out the 7s and 8s. So
wait, before we jump any further, the only chance I give Cleveland, though, is if Darius Garland goes absolutely bonkers and drops like a 40 or 50 ball.
Which he's capable of.
He is. 40 and like 10, or that's the only way I see Cleveland like pulling out
a
win.
He has to. And Evan Mobley has to have a big game. It's simple, but Kevin Love has to have a big game. Like, they just need their best players to play good. And that sounds simple, but it's the case with Cleveland in this tournament game, is that you need your best players to play well. Because truth be told, if they had Sexton and Rubio, well, if they had Rubio, they wouldn't have LeVert, so scratch that. But if they had Sexton, and, you know, I would give them a real shot at this game against Brooklyn.
Oh, if they had all their pieces healthy, I would choose Cleveland, actually.
I think I would too with Allen and Sexton. You know, then all of a sudden you get, assuming that Brooklyn still had the injuries that they have, but But unfortunately for Cleveland, it's been a tough season. Let's jump to seven and eight now. So in the West. Minnesota Timberwolves, the frisky, weirdly fun, somehow good Minnesota Timberwolves, 46-36 versus the Los Angeles Clippers, who again somehow survived their best player being out all season, and their second best player having stretches where he played bad and then also being injured and then also playing great, and also overhauling their roster in terms of with the idea of next year in mind, like keeping next year in mind, they still somehow managed to be 42-40. And look, Ty Lue's a great coach. I think we have to, I mean, I've said this for a while now, so this isn't new breaking news, but you have to say Ty Lue is one of the better coaches in the NBA, one of the
I'd say top five,
just because of what he can do and the amount of wrinkles he's able to throw, just the way he's able to really just do things that are outside the box. And that sounds simple, but it really is what he does great is he is willing to try and make bold moves. And this Clippers team, man, look, they got a bunch of great wings. But the problem is the number one player that the Clippers have to worry about is a center, Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, they have a lot of wings with a lot of length and size and strength. And, you know, there's things you can do because Jared Vanderbilt, who's played great, he's not exactly a four spacer. So, you know, a lot of people will throw their center on him, so that the center can kind of play help defense, and they'll kind of throw a smaller guy on Towns and just kind of make Towns really work. And so it's gonna be interesting. I want to say that the Clippers are gonna pull it out, just because I think that the veteran savvy team, along with just having more pieces and more options to throw, I think Ty Lue will throw enough to frustrate Towns. And from what I've seen from Towns, he's getting better, but I just don't like him in the post. I just don't like him in the post as like a playmaker.
Oh yeah, I was about to say in the post he'd be so well, at least scoring wise.
Yeah, playmaking. Scoring wise. But yeah, but if you're doubling him, then you're forcing him to most likely make a pass instead of a shot. And so I think that you're putting him in a position where he's gonna just have the other people. And so far this season, you know, listen, a lot of teams have done that. That's not new. That's not rocket science. But Karl-Anthony Towns has been able to figure it out, but I just think that the Clippers have more wings and more options, like Marcus Morris. They have so many big wings that can just annoy you, and I think that that's going to be a problem for Towns and the Timberwolves. So I'll actually pick the Clippers in this matchup. Who you got?
Oh, that's crazy. I'm gonna go outside and choose the Timberwolves. I think Karl-Anthony Towns will not be stopped. I think they don't have anybody who can guard him. They can run all them other people on him. He's just going to be too big for him. And he probably like the, in my opinion, nah, I ain't going to say that. I'm tripping.
What was you
going to say? I was going to be like, he was probably like the second best scoring big man. But I'm like, nah, I'm like, Jokic is still better than him at scoring.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Absolutely.
I'd have been tripping. Nah, he definitely third, though. He hands down third. Yeah. Just like he the hands down third center, he's the hands down third best scorer as well. But I don't think they don't have anybody who could stop him. And then you're going to have Anthony Edwards, and I think he's going to have a big game. He's going to show why, like, people are, like, very highly –
You think he's going to have a big game?
Yeah.
I mean, the Clippers have a bunch of wings, and that goes to – again, that goes to not just stopping Towns, but, like, D'Lo and
– Hey, don't sleep
Edwards.
On D'Lo.
D'Lo and Edwards. Nice. I'm not sleeping on them, but it will be a tough assignment for them as well, you know? Like, they'll have a lot of – they'll get a lot of looks from a lot of great wings as far as defense goes. So if you're like, you throw Paul George on Anthony Edwards.
You have to. If you don't, he's going, he's absolutely dropping like a 40 piece.
And then like Norman Powell, Terrence Mann on,
We probably have it like D-Lo. You probably have a like, rotation on Anthony Edwards. So you probably have Terrence Mann. And Norman Powell start off originally on Anthony Edwards, and then like towards the end of the fourth quarter, you slide PG on there because we need PG to score. Yeah. He they only He's like yeah. their major offense. I mean, Marcus Morris can score nice and Reggie Jackson, but it's really going through PG.
Exactly. And Luke Kennard is more of like a just like that's just a bonus if he's hitting shots. Norman Powell has been great for them offensively, though. But what if you're the Clippers, I'm just wondering, Josh, you just say, go ahead, Towns. We're just not letting everybody else beat us.
Yes. That you have
to. That's the strategy for the Clippers?
Yes. I think Karl Anthony Towns is also going to have a big game. As he sees the Timberwolves so close to making it to the playoffs, I think he's going to go crazy. And he's walking with a different type of swagger this year.
He is. He is. And I like to see that. But I wonder about – I think the Clippers have enough to be able to slow down Towns or frustrate Towns and also not get beat by the role players, which is why I'll take the Clippers.
Do we consider Anthony Edwards a role player, though?
I mean, I'm just saying role player in terms of, like, everybody – like, the star is Towns. The star is Paul George on this team. And then everything is trying to acquiesce around that. But, obviously, I'm not saying that Anthony Edwards – I mean, the man dropped a 50 ball. Like, he's obviously not a role player.
Sadiq Bey also did as well. Shout out to the Pistons.
Yeah, shout out to the Pistons. You know we couldn't make it a pod without mentioning it. Thank you, Josh, for doing that. You know, I appreciate you. I appreciate you not making me be the one to bring up the Pistons.
When we talk about the Clippers and we brought up Luke Kennard, I almost brought up the Pistons again. Like, yes, I'm glad we got rid of that guy.
Stop.
Donovan, we want you. We'll trade for you, Donovan.
Yes, man, that's all I think about whenever I think of Luke Kennard is I think, damn, we could have had Donovan.
Donovan, we love and want you here. The kids
Donovan
miss you.
Cade.
Donovan, the kids miss you. Come on.
Shout out Jack Harlow. That album is not going to be good.
Oh, no, it's going to be bad.
All right. So you're picking Minnesota. I'm picking the Clippers. Let's do this. Did you ever find that answer on the East yet?
It depends on. So are we
looking at the. We're trying to look at like roughly around the 10th spot.
That's what I'm saying. So if the 10th spot's 500, then that's fine. Or do they have to be over 500? Because I haven't found one over 500, but I found two now at 500.
Okay, what 2 years?
Okay. So the first year was actually like super recent. Well, relatively recent that actually surprised me. The 2015-2016 year. So when when Cleveland went to the finals and lost to the Warriors that year.
Who was 10?
No, wait. No, actually, the Cleveland
won in 2016.
Yeah, they won in 2016. So the year Cleveland won.
Yeah.
The 10th seed was Washington, and it was 41-41.
I was going to guess Washington.
Yes. The 9th was the Bulls, and it was 42-40. And you know who was the 8th?
Yeah.
Another Pistons bring up. Yes. We got swept, but we played them the hardest, I feel like. Other than Golden State, of course.
In the East.
And then the other year that I just found is 1997-1998. And what a coincidence. Washington is number 9 with 42-40. And Orlando Magic is number 10 with 41-41. And number 8, the New Jersey Nets with 43-39. So those are the 2 years I found. So that's a big, big gap.
43-39 are the 10th seed. Atlanta and Charlotte are both tied for the 9th technically. But those two teams are by one game better than the 10 seeds in the East. So If we wanted to find one exactly like 43-39 as like a 10 seed or better, we'd probably have to go deep. We'd probably have to go deep into the archives. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So let me jump back to the West real quick and the 7th-8. So I'm picking the Clippers. You're picking the Timberwolves. Let's do this. Who would you be more concerned with in a game against New Orleans or San Antonio? Like who do you think if they lost this game is in more danger of losing of just losing the playoffs, being out? Miss.
Between who again?
Between the 7 and 8 right now. So Minnesota Clippers. One of those teams is gonna lose. Which of those two teams would you be worried about in the 9-10 more?
Probably Minnesota since they're the younger team and they got like more of the improvement. But I think the 7 and 8 are just so much clearly better than the 9 and 10 in the West. Like, I don't even think that's comp. Like,
listen.
So when you first asked me, I'm like, that's hard because the 9 and 10 are trash.
For comparison, let's just do this.
All
right. So the 7-8 in the East is 44-38, both of them. And the 9 and 10 are 43-39. So there is one game separating separating these teams. In the West, you have Minnesota at 46-36, the Clippers at 42-40. Then you have the 9-seed Pelicans at 36-46, and the Spurs at 34-48, who traded Derek White and said, yeah, this isn't our season. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lakers. You just epically blew up, and now we're in the play-in tournament. This is great. Pop loves to win. We're not so ecstatic that we're winning, but Pop loves to win, so this is great. So, I am with you that I don't think either team is likely to lose in that game. However, I would also put my money on Minnesota. Just because I like the volume scoring, even though Minnesota knows what they are, like I like that Minnesota does know exactly what they are. I feel like they play exactly to their strengths. They're a young team, but they're confident in who they are. They're not just relying on a lot of talent. Like, I don't think this is a team that's just like, Josh, to me, this isn't a team that's just like high on lottery talent and is only here because of pure talent and they don't really know how the pieces fit. I think Minnesota understands how they fit, how they play, what makes them play the best. So I do like their identity, but I just think that a young team in a high stakes game like this, you know, I could see San Antonio or New Orleans, you know, doing something to them in a game. So I agree with you that even though I'm picking Minnesota to lose,
there's no way
in the 7-8. I'm not picking them to lose in the play-in game.
There's no way they lose in the.
But I agree that they're in more trouble.
Yeah, it's just no way. Those other two teams are absolutely sorry.
All right, so now let's knock out the 9-10s. So the 9-10s, Atlanta, Charlotte in the East, New Orleans, San Antonio in the West. Again, we don't need to go over the records. We already did that. Atlanta, Charlotte in the East. I think this game has massive stakes for Atlanta, and I think this is a home run for Charlotte. Like, I feel like if Charlotte is a 10 seed again next year, I think they just got to name this the Charlotte Play-In Tournament. Like, I just feel like they're just, like, the kings of the play-in tournament. Like, they're just always going to be, no pun intended, because the Kings haven't gotten there yet. But I just think that the Charlotte is a team that just, like, epitomizes good but not good enough, is always going to be in the tournament but never going to win it. And that's kind of how I feel. And Atlanta, look, they got more to lose. Like, they were in the conference finals last year. It would be a disaster if they lost this first playing game.
I'd be sick for them. I'd honestly be sick.
Yeah. It would be absolutely terrible if they were just out like that.
But it's not impossible. I can definitely see Charlotte winning.
It's not impossible. Charlotte has played well. They don't have Gordon Hayward.
They got LaMelo, though. And Terry Rozier.
And, you know, the Hawks don't have John Collins. And so
they need to get rid of John Collins. I ain't going to lie. I was liking him, but nah, man, he gotta go.
Would you have done the Jeremy Grant for John Collins?
No, I want a draft. I want a first round draft pick.
I do too. I want that Portland flexibility.
Portland, send that pick.
Portland's coming to college.
That's what I'm saying.
Did you hear the latest report?
No, what are they talking about?
Dame is sitting side by side with the GM picking this team.
Oh, Dame's like, I want
and
that
the,
one.
Who's the one player that Dame has said, literally numerous times that he wants? Jeremy Grant.
Yes, sir.
The mother load. I'm talking.
I want they pick this year, too, since they make the playoff. I want this year and then probably not next year, but the year after. But I want this year since it's going to be a higher pick.
I want 26 and 28. I want your future.
Their future is going to probably be
No.
Yeah, they probably going.
Small guard, a team that's going to underachieve. Listen, bro, I want this. And you got to think about it from a flexibility standpoint. In the future, in 26-28, Pistons are going to be capped out because we're going to be paying Cade, we're going to be paying Sadiq, and who knows what else we're going to be paying.
We might have another hidden star coming up, you know.
But yeah, but then maybe all of a sudden you get an eighth pick in a draft or a 12th pick in a draft when you already got a superstar. And then you got that player for 4 years under contract. Well, listen, this isn't a Pistons podcast.
Yeah,
I honestly don't know how we.
Yeah,
got
so
there.
We're not going to do a tangent, but just know the Pistons on their way though. Just know we're on our way.
Just know we on our way up. I may have to rethink that whole no playing tournament thing. But let's stick to the topic at hand. The Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets. I'm betting Atlanta.
I'm also betting Atlanta.
It's just
Trae Young, man. That's
it's
all.
It's just Trae Young. It's the expectations. It's the fact that they have turned around. I like what I see from them more than I like what I see from Charlotte. I like Charlotte more in the sense that, like, oh, yeah, this is fine. This is fun. But with Atlanta, I know their ceiling is higher than what they, than what they are currently. So I'm going to trust that the team that was in the conference finals last year can get it together for 1 to 2 games.
Yeah.
Like, because even if they lose in the next game, even if they win this game and lose in the next game, I'm still like, if they just miss the playoffs entirely, that's disappointing. But, yes. Like, if they lose this first game to Charlotte, that's really bad.
The team, they might have to boo some people really for Trey. They're going to have to start making some better moves for Trey.
That phone better be ringing.
Yes. Clint, John, you other people, DeAndre, they already got rid of Cam. Hey, yeah. Start making some moves.
Got to get the boot. Which do you think would, again, we're playing Cleveland, which do you think would be worse for Cleveland to play?
Probably, I think Atlanta, just simply because of Trae Young. Even though they have Darius Garland, I think Trae Young is just that much of a game changer that you do not, especially right now, I don't think you want to see him right now, especially trying to get his team to the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. Just wanted to ask that. Okay, so for to summarize the East play-in tournament, we have Brooklyn winning tonight's game.
By a lot.
And then we have Atlanta beating Charlotte. And then we have Atlanta beating Cleveland in the play-in. We all agree on that. We both agree on that.
Yes. Now, okay. I wonder if we're going to look stupid after today.
Yeah. We'll see in about, like, 2.5 hours if our takes are trash.
Yes, if we're idiots.
West, you picked the Clippers. I picked the Timberwolves.
No.
Or no, sorry. Reverse
Reversed.
That. Reverse that.
Uno reverse.
I picked the Clippers. You picked the Timberwolves tonight.
Yes, yes, yes.
New Orleans, San Antonio. Let's focus on that game first. Ingram, CJ McCollum, they've played well together. San Antonio is a bunch of players that, you know, they're just pop players. They somehow manage to win games. Everything tells me I should pick the Pelicans. Everything tells me that they have more talent. They have more top end talent in a one team winner takes all game.
Like, I feel a butt coming. I just want that. I feel a butt coming.
It is.
I knew it.
It is. It's Pop, man. It's Pop. Like,
that's valid.
If you don't think that arguably the greatest coach of all time in basketball can pull out one win that, like, again, it wouldn't be drastically shocking if they won either. Like, I don't think they're that much worse than the Pelicans.
No, not at all.
I think there is a bigger gap between the Pelicans and the Spurs, though, than their record show. Like, I think the Pelicans are better than their record shows.
I agree.
Because they had that slow start, and they really turned it around.
And Zion did not play a single game.
I mean, yeah, but he's not playing in this one, so it doesn't matter either.
Exactly. He didn't play anything.
You think he's still at 300 pounds?
I don't know. You saw that video of him dunking. Maybe like 299, 298, 299.5.
Sick. Yeah, I got to go with San Antonio. I'm just going with Pop. DeJounte, Jakupertl.
This is funny. I'm going with the Pelicans. I think Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum are going to just be too tough of a duo to stop.
Yeah, it's totally fair. I think this could look bad. I think this could be the take that becomes the most outdated, which luckily this will be like 24 hours from now, so we won't have to deal with that take for 24 hours.
Yeah.
But we can sleep soundly tonight.
Yeah. I'm picking the Pelicans. But it's a valid argument because of Pop. That's the only reason I can see why you're choosing them, because of Pop. DeJounte is nice too, but it's really because of Pop.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's all it is the Pop and the Spurs way of, like, just winning games that they can win. Like, you know, they're doing that at a lesser rate than they have, but they're still doing that. Spurs, like, I still check this. I feel like I check every week, and it's just like this game I expected the Spurs to lose. Oh, wow, the Spurs won. Okay, of course they did. And then they just keep moving. And that's just the Pop effect. So would you rather, though, again, if you're Minnesota or the Clippers, would you rather see San Antonio?
Yeah.
Just because of the less star power?
Yeah, and I think they get absolutely bullied. I think, regardless, both those teams, I think, are going to get absolutely wiped by the 7th or 8th team, 7th or 8th seed. That's how much better I just think the 7th or 8th is than the 9th and 10th.
Well, in mine, I have the I would have Minnesota playing the Pelicans. You would have the Clippers playing the Pelicans. The Clippers playing the Pelicans just sound like game over.
Yes, absolutely sounds like a wash.
If they can, beat Towns, they can beat Valanciunas.
That just like I'm just saying,
like, and they can let don't worry, Devontae Graham gonna shoot 3 for 14. Oh, that's my other reason why Spurs are gonna win. Devontae Graham's gonna shoot 4 of 24.
They're not gonna play him in the game. As soon as he becomes 1 for 5, they're like, "Yep, get on the bench, my
you
boy."
You think they're gonna pull him?
My man
haven't yet.
If he's 3 for 14, I hope they're gonna just think they're like, no, the game is too much at stake. We can't let this man shoot us out of it.
He's gonna do? He's gonna make sure there's no dead ball. He's gonna see that sideline. He's gonna see that player sitting on the sideline, and he's gonna be like,
time to start chucking.
Yeah, time to start chucking. Shout out to Devontae Graham. You single handedly killed my field goal percentage for 9 months.
You my boy. I love you, Devontae. Come to Michigan. Come to the D. I got you.
You got him? You going to make sure he's straight?
Going to make sure you're good, bro.
Good.
I bring you your own pair of buffs.
San Antonio. So San Antonio playing, or the Clippers, or the Pelicans. Either one playing the Clippers, I feel like, is roadkill. Either one playing Minnesota, again.
It's roadkill.
Minnesota. The one way is Jakob Poeltl's a good defender and Pop's a good coach. And DeJounte's a good defender.
All those are true. Their team is just not close. Yeah. Their team is just not good.
Fair.
I don't even know why Pop wanted to make the playoffs. They're going to lose a high pick, too, to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, listen, so we'll have – so your official to recap. On the East, we agree. Brooklyn's winning.
Yes.
Brooklyn's winning tonight. Atlanta's winning against Charlotte. And then Atlanta's beating Cleveland. So 7-8 will be Brooklyn and Atlanta, and they will play. Brooklyn will play Boston, and Atlanta will play Miami.
Hey, low key, Atlanta might be able to beat Miami. That's all I'm gonna say.
Come on,
Atlanta might be able to beat Miami.
Come on. No, we're not doing that.
It might be able to beat Miami. You know what I
mean? Listen, I know Miami got a chance. I know it's cool to count Miami out right now. And I'm not saying they're going to make the finals. I don't think that they're not my pick to make the finals out of the East. But I will say that I think people are overreacting to Miami right now, cooling down. In the West, we would have, again, it'd be different for both of us, but you'd have Minnesota playing Memphis. And
yes.
I would have the Clippers playing Memphis. And then I would have... and then I would have the opposite, just like you. So you would have in your ideal world, you would have Memphis playing Minnesota at 2-7, and then the Clippers playing the Suns. Tough draw for the Suns, by the way.
If
that's the case.
But it'd be tough draw for Memphis if they get the Clippers.
That's true. Either one is a tough draw.
I think the Suns don't get the Clippers out of there, I ain't gonna lie.
I mean, listen. I'm still picking both those 7 and 8 seeds to lose.
But I think the Clippers got a chance against Memphis, though. Not a good chance, but I think they got a chance. I don't think they got a chance against Phoenix, but I think they got a chance against Memphis.
I agree with that. We'll save the rest of our playoff takes for later. We'll do deeper dives on those as we get those. So right now, the plan is to have. Another podcast for the awards.
Yes,
and then one more podcast breaking down the entire first round of the playoffs.
Are we doing the all NBA teams as well?
We have that's, to. That's where the spice is.
That is.
That's where the spice is. We got to determine people's money. It's so stupid because we don't actually vote. But ideally one day I'll have enough success in my life to maybe vote in
be
all
a voter.
NBA team. And I hope by the time I do vote that I don't that the stupid money rule is not in play, because I think it's crazy that you're going to let me decide.
If this man makes either 250 mil or 180 mil,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Listen, all I'm saying is if somebody's deciding $70 million of my future, I'm gonna have a word with you.
Facts. I might have to see you at your house. All I'm saying is though, if I'm the voter, I'm making sure you ain't getting your 250. Nah, I'm playing. Get your
listen,
money.
Josh, thank you for coming on the podcast, man. I appreciate you.
Wait, before we finish, I just checked all through the years in the standings to see, and this is the first time ever that the 10 seed is over 500 ever. All the other times the 10 seed was either at 500, was at 500.
Wow.
This is like, I guess, the nicest East year in terms of like depth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then there's just like those last three teams, like just like
just absolutely fall off a cliff.
The last three teams, yeah. And then I mean, 11 and 12 are like, yeah. But like, yeah, last three teams just oof.
Yes.
Oof.
Hey, but shout out to the Pistons. Yeah, we're going to get a nice pick this year.
Yeah, we better. Yeah. Well, good pod, Josh. Appreciate you coming on, man. As always, you'll be back for the, like I said, the other two podcasts.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate everyone for tuning in. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast, Apple, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Your boy is there. Subscribe, support.
We're also on OnlyFans.
No, we're not on OnlyFans.
Oh, that'd be a nice place to subscribe to, though.
Gosh,
we even put it for free for you guys.
Okay, if I'm doing OnlyFans, I'm not doing it free. But that's a whole other discussion.
You're right.
You're not doing OnlyFans for free. Doing it for the love. That's not for the culture.
$5, y'all. OnlyFans. We giving it cheap, bro. Just give us a link. Come on. Something like.
Josh, you kill me. All right, man. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I appreciate you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We will catch you on the next two podcasts coming up later this week.